Please be seated. I would like to ask the children who are present this morning, if you'd like to, come on up here. I need some help. Well, welcome. Ooh, what a pretty thing. Ooh, you both have them. All right. It's so good to see you guys. Now I need to get somebody, one of you, who's going to be my helper. Who is going to be helper? Oh, I saw your hand. You've got a blue shirt. Come out. I want you to come right up here. And here's what you got to do. You got to hold this. Turn around, face the congregation. You got to hold it high. You remember that song that says, "Lift high the cross"? Hmm? You know that hymn? "Lift high the cross." Hmm. I better not try and sing it. I don't sing real well. Anyway, welcome to you kids. What my custom lots of times was to have somebody, him, could be you, could be anybody, do this before we start to preach. Why? Because I want your help in making the sermon helpful to the people today. How many of you have ever been lost? Ever been lost? Yeah, I was lost. Who went looking for you? Hmm? God? He did. How many of you had parents that went looking for you? Did you have a brother and sister go looking for you? Get in here. It's time to eat. And that's what my sister would say. She did that, you know, to me a lot. Because my sister was younger than me, but she was in charge. God gave her 5 children, 1 girl and 4 boys, including some twins, and she learned how to be in charge. To save her life. What this is all about, and he's got it high as he can get it, that's what we're supposed to do, yeah, with our whole life. Because when we're lost, who do you think found us? God did, yeah. And where did he put us when he found us, when we were little bitty babies? It's a thing back there. Yes, he put us in his heart, didn't he? Yeah, and he put him in our hearts. And you know what we did with that? How many of you were baptized right here? A few of you were. Oh, all right. Wonderful. That's how he found you, called you his very own dear child, and that will never, ever change. Well, we're going to talk some more about finding stuff in a little bit, but I have got, I don't want to wear him out, you know? But all of us, we can hold high the cross with our life everywhere we go. How do we do that? By waiting for the chance to tell people about Jesus. Good. Oh, he's tired. Okay, now give that to me. I'm going to hold it, and I've got to do the sermon. But you guys help me start it, okay? So you can go sit down again. Is that a deal? Amen. Some years ago, there was a new translation of the Bible done. Some of you still use it, perhaps. It's called the New International Version. The same group that started that out in La Habra, California, also began to do some work with a big community-wide evangelism program. And they titled it, "I Found It." Bumper stickers of all sorts all over the Los Angeles area. And one of my clergy friends in the area came over to my office and he says, "John, aren't you guys going to be involved in I Found It campaign when the revival fires are burning in the San Gabriel Valley?" And I said, "Dennis, we are. We're the burn treatment center for people who think they are doing something." He looked at me and I said, "You see, we know that it's God who does this. And unless God builds the house, the builder builds it in vain." "Well, we're going to do this." "And yes, I know," I said. "Revival is an important thing, but it's not seasonal. It doesn't just happen in between VBS and school. It doesn't just happen between school starting and Christmas or any other time. It has to happen with every single one of us every single day when we rise and face the fact, I am baptized. I'm alive again. There will never be a day, as a Christian believer, that will not be true for you. Even though you die, yet shall you live. You know, I'd like to talk to you about the gospel today, Jesus and those wonderful stories about I found it, as if those texts were ignored by a lot of the people. And when you simply say, I found it, the general unwashed public goes from pillar to post. The Jewish people said, we never lost it. Of course, they never had it. But they have some of it. And rather than knocking heads, it's better to embrace hearts. What Jesus was doing was very clear. He was direct, and he proclaimed the law very clearly to the people around him. The complaint that some people had about Jesus was that he welcomed people who opposed God, who had dismissed God, who didn't really care about God. People who didn't care about God, they were the wrong kind of people to hang out with. And Jesus, if you're going to be, you know, a preacher or anything else, you need to be careful who you associate with. That's what they're trying to tell him. They were the wrong crowd. People who don't care about God can be anybody. And you know it, and so do I. They could be a neighbor, a co-worker, a buddy, a good friend. Could be a successful business owner. It could be a teacher, carpet installer. Could be a bank manager. People who don't care about God can be nice people. They can do nice things. Sinners are not just poorly clothed, bad-behaving, raucous, or mean people. They can wear nice clothes, too, and be respected and elected by the community. That's the world we live in. The people who dismissed God, who trusted in other things to say yes to their lives, those who complained against Jesus welcoming sinners, they trusted instead in their own ability to measure how well people met God's standards. Is that sinking home to me yet? I don't know about you, but yes. Scrutinizing people who don't measure up makes someone feel like they deserve a yes from God, more than those that don't do that. But really, they switch out God's measuring stick for a different kind, one they have made, one they've made their very own. You don't fit my preconceptions, my ideas, my experience, my history, me. There's a problem with that. If one did not switch out measuring sticks and trusted one's own performance at measuring up to God's standards, one might look very righteous from the outside, but the heart would still be the one that trusts in one's own performance rather than God. So who has dismissed God? The company that Jesus keeps, or the one who judges Jesus and them? Who has dismissed God? The answer is everyone. Isn't that right? Who among us can say that we've never used our own personal measuring stick? We're convicted. The people who dismissed God, you see, are the ones who ignored God. He's a concept. And you hear it all the time, all around this world today. The people who switched out God's measuring stick also ignored God, and they didn't even realize it. It could be a simple thing as taking the commandments out of the courthouse. They're still in the Supreme Court building. It could be a simple thing like that, somebody saying, well, we've got to do it by whatever we as a group decide, and I'll tell you what we as a group should decide, and I'll influence you, and I'll use all sorts of fancy stuff and maybe even a few freebies, and we'll tell you what you should decide. God's measuring stick? Oh, come on. It's a little antique, isn't it? You have heard the language. You live with it day in and day out. So what happens to people who switch out God's measuring stick for their own? What happens to those who ignore God and don't even realize it? God gives them up to their own hearts and their own heart's desire. And God's law, the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, it reveals something really terrible, that everyone has dismissed God, and so everyone, all, are lost, subject to the end to become nothing, which is death. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So on any other measuring stick, we are far short of what we need to be. The right and proper measuring stick is this and this alone. In our text, Jesus uses a parable about this lady looking for a lost coin. But Jesus is like the woman who looks for that lost coin. He's like the shepherd he talked about just before that, who's looking for lost sheep. The woman and the shepherd are glad that they have the 9 coins, the 99 sheep. But Jesus, you see, has love. And love, though glad it has the one it loves, wants all to be loved. He wants all to be with God. Jesus finds the lost by becoming lost himself. It's a wonderful motif for the incarnation and the ministry and the troubles and the trials and the death of Jesus. Lost. Seek the lost puts a new spin on it, doesn't it? It's the lost who seeks us. Yeah. That Jesus, who by all rites and presentations is lost, is the one who comes to seek us out, us wandering sheep, and to take us to his own heart, to nurture us, to curry us, and to do all those things that the Good Shepherd does in the 23rd Psalm and in other wonderful sheep motifs in the Old Testament. But you see, Jesus has got love. And he's got love for all of his creatures. And that includes the ones who use their own measuring stick. And as we've seen, that's everyone. Everyone. Jesus finds the way that the lost has gone by becoming lost himself. Lost among sinners. Lost among those who are judged as not quite measuring up to standards. Especially God's standards as we will interpret them to you and for you. Jesus becomes the one who is lost among the condemned, lost among the dead, hanging there with the nameless ones, even though history's tried to give him a name or two. We don't know for sure. But death, yes, lost among the dead. The Hebrews have a word for dead. The word is simple. Einenu. It means does not exist. He is not. He, she is not. Einenu. Lots of the people at Jesus' time were pretty sure. Einenu. It's the end of it. So if they could kill him, that'd be the end of it. And they got that job done. But he who came amongst the lost as the lost had the lost laugh. Pardon my terrible language. He did. And on that great getting up morning, they talk about the future resurrection of all the dead as that great getting up morning, I'll be there. The great getting up morning is the morning that Jesus rose from the dead, without which any other resuscitation of any kind is meaningless. Saving the life of a criminal, or just let him go? It's the big challenge that comes to people involved in law enforcement and sometimes even in healthcare. This person's a real crumb bum. What do? We use everything we have at our disposal to save that individual's physical life. There's only one reason as a believer you'd want to do that, and it's an important reason, so that that person might understand that Jesus got lost to save lost people. Today we celebrate our being found as the lost ones by the one who founded everything and is the lost one, who gave himself up for you and me and the whole world. We trust in him, and we trust that our worth is not measured by the stocks we hold, the wonderful kids we have, our perfect and wonderful heritage, be that animal, vegetable, or mineral. None of those things count. Our worth is this, that we have been found by he who is the one with the Father and the Spirit, who lost it all for you, for me, and for all of his creatures. Well, why then are not all saved? I don't know. I'll leave that to God. But I do know this, that what we do when we gather together to rejoice and hear the word of the Lord in all our ways and do the things we do is to gather at the table of the Lord, where we are fed with his very body and his very blood, given and shed for you, for me, for the forgiveness of sins. And where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and there is salvation. So even though you die, and I know you weaken and you age and you're not intact or whatever, or you don't have the right thinking, it's not based on you and your performance. It's based on he, the simple Son of God, who came to seek and to save the lost by being lost himself. The Lord's Supper, you see, is the place where Jesus meets sinners and eats with them. He himself is both the victim and the priest. He himself is the gift. He is himself the feast that he feeds us with his very own body and blood. And instead of complaining that Jesus welcomes sinners, we now also welcome sinners and eat with them. Now, those little kids that were up here, they're sinners. You know what they were looking at? All y'all, sinners. And you know who was talking to them? A sinner. We're all the same. But because of Christ Jesus, we have become the one of the 100 that he's gone after. He's got many, many sheep in many, many places. He loves them all. So if they're not in our church, are they Jesus sheep? You will never meet someone for whom Jesus Christ did not die, for whom he did not rise again. They may reject it, and you may be rejected along with it. That's not the point. The point is that it's simple. In the love of Christ, everyone is a someone, a valued person. Some have said it this way. If you were the only sinner ever to be, God would still have sent his Son to die for you, to save you, and to give you hope and eternal life. Amazing thing. And when other people feel lost or unsure of what to do or unsure about the purpose of their lives, we find them. We carry them into the home that we call church, and we invite friends and neighbors to come and rejoice, for we have found what was lost, us. And is it our work? Did we do it? No, he found us. God rejoices in the lost being found, for when the lost are found, his son's dying and rising have been honored. To rejoice in finding the lost is to trust that Jesus is for us, that he forgives us, that he has made us right with God. There used to be, as you know, a lot of signs and slogans, some concrete things. Get right with God. I said, you know, that cross has already gotten me right with God. I don't have to do anything. He's done it all. Now, some of us can be tempted to take that and do nothing at all. Not to rejoice, not to give thanks, not to attend church. And I think there's a lot of that that goes on in this world. But I cannot miss being here. Not just because I'm the preacher today. I can't miss being in the house of the Lord because I need that encouragement and the reality of God's mercy that comes only there amongst the fellow believers, the he's and the she's that he has called out to come together to pray, to praise, to give thanks. And in this meal that we call the Great Thanksgiving, to share that with one another, his body, his blood. May the Lord bless you on this day to recognize that, yeah, I found it. Who's the I? Jesus is the I. And what's the it? You and me and everybody else and everything, all the lost. Yeah, he is the I who found it. If it was up to me, of course, it would be a totally different story. It would look like John, and it would look not for good. But he who does all things well has now invited us to come to this altar to receive from him the assurance again that our sins are forgiven, that his very own body and blood, the same one that was sacrificed on Calvary, is here given today for you and for me, that we might have life and salvation. So the Lord bless you, found ones, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And peace of Christ, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ.